Okay. Remind me not to move my chair when I'm dancing because now I've got cords all in the wrong places. But
that sounds uncomfortable.
Yes. Nonetheless, welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're plotting to steal your children's candy stash, we'll be caching in the Northwest. But we can't do that until we bring in our rock-spotting simian. Some say he wears a Halloween mask all year round. And others say he grinds bricks into sand in his spare time. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Well, I have been told to pound sand. So I think that's probably related to that. But you know what? It is my absolute pleasure to be back here again. Chris of the Northwest with you. My goodness, sir, we have spent a lot of time together today already.
Well, you know, we're such good friends. We like to spend time together.
We do.
We're forced to. Not sure which one. But yes, we have. You know, we've done another podcast. Actually, technically two podcasts together already today. And this will be our third.
Aren't we lucky?
We are. You know, there are certain days I look and Thursdays, you know, that seems to be that certain day. I'm happy to come and sit down and talk with my friends and do a podcast. It's become a routine and it's comfortable and I enjoy it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. On that note, I am sad that we are missing our ever important third wheel.
Yeah.
The third wheel in the most positive sense.
That's really. Right. I mean, you know, a tricycle without a third wheel just doesn't work.
No. What would you call a tricycle with only two wheels? That's weird.
Yeah. Broken?
Yeah. That's messed up. Anyways, you know what? Again, we want to encourage you folks, if you're missing Wits End tonight, send him a tweet. Let him know you missed him.
Definitely. He's off working. He should be with us next week. And, you know, it's not the same without Wits End.
It really isn't. You know what? In fact, why don't you send a tweet at Wits End, WITZEND, # it's not the same.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. See what happens. Let's try that. Anyways, let him know you miss him. We miss him. And we let him know because, you know, we talk to him throughout the week.
Yes.
But anyways, something else that I'm grateful for is our Denali level supporters. In fact, I always say that. I call the patrons Patreons because Patreon is the site or the service, but they are patrons. And I am thankful for each and every one of you. Of course, our Denali level supporters, that'd be Team Squirrel and worldcaching.com, but all of you guys who support us every week, you make such a difference to our ability to put on the show. And that would be Subway Mark, Caching Maniacs, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Camp Clan, Beat Pendragon, and Billy Robson.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it in one breath and you got me right there at the end. You just hesitated for that. But thank you, each and every one of you. We appreciate you. Now, tonight's show, we're going to talk about this painted rock phenomena that we're seeing happening around the world, here in the
Chris,
Northwest.
Anytime somebody says the word phenomena,
yeah.
Do you know what music goes through my head?
X-Files.
No.
Oh.
From the Muppet Show.
Really? Phenomena?
Do-do-do-do-do.
Phenomena.
Do-do-do-do. Yeah.
What about X-Files?
That's just not the music that goes through my head when I hear the word phenomena.
Okay.
Anyways, you know what? Before we get started, why don't we get glowing?
Ooh.
So, like folks,
irradiated people that we are.
Yes. Folks, we appreciate so much when you submit a glow or a geocaching log of the week. And if you do that, you get your very own glow badge.
That's right. So whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it because great logs simply make geocaching better. Send. Wow. I get choked up with great logs. I really do.
Yes.
Send an email to feedback@cashingnw.com. You can always call in to 253-693-TFTC or use the handy-dandy voicemail tool right there on the website and show us how you glow. Now, tonight's glow is submitted by a listener. In fact, someone who's live with us right this very moment, and that would be Dora Moore.
She's the person who actually came up with the acronym in the first place.
That's right. Dora Moore is the reason we have a glow. The entire glow segment was her idea. What was that?
Well, no, I'm saying, just saying.
Just saying. She wrote, I think it would make a terrific glow, especially if you could imitate Bogart's Sam Spade while reading it. And I don't think I can do that, but I'll put a little effort into this. This comes from Kevin McDee, who found the butt text. The evening was hot, like frying egg hot, as the light filtered through the shuttered windows of my office. I had a problem of a butt text. A backpack of loot and an FTF hanging on the line like so much whiskey left in a bottle. A bottle I had opened while trying to make sense, any sense, out of this mess. The life of a private geocache investigator is never easy. I settled back into my mumblings of word counts and letter frequency analysis. There was a sudden knock on my door and she stormed in. A goat. One used goat. And what a goat she was. Name's Angie. FTF, right? She said, looking over my squalid office. What about using butt as the key? She wasn't just a beauty. She was brains, too. I poured her a shot, and we drank to our new partnership and got to work. And sudden flurry of ideas flowed, whiskey forgotten. The case required a new approach. We hit the bricks. The whole story had more holes than Swiss cheese after the local gangs got to it. One used goat suggested, you know what, if you want to find out more FTF tales from Kev MacDee, private geocache inspector, visit your local book proprietor.
That is a very creative glow. That's awesome.
Isn't that great? Enjoyable. You know, one of the things that I've gotten into lately are the old 40s and 50s radio serials. So one of them I'm listening to is yours truly, Johnny Dollar. It's the man with the action-packed expense account. Yes, he's an insurance investigator, and he reads his expense account. And during the show, it's kind of a little funny bit, but apparently it went on for many, many years.
Okay, so these are actually the old serials. It's not like new podcasts imitating the old serials. Yeah.
I was driving down the road and the radio station was coming in fuzzy. And I remember, there's a translator around this area. And I went looking for it and I came across old time serials. So now I've got podcasts of those that I can listen to nice and clean anytime I want. And it's a lot of fun. Another one is X-1. It's a sci-fi old timey serial. So anyway.
It's also a good way to count backwards.
Yes. Yes, it is. Hey,
what?
If there's a milestone cache that you're celebrating, like maybe Team Finn is celebrating next week as they hit 1,000. So applause in the future for Team Finn. Just don't listen to this podcast right away.
Yeah.
And we'll go, yay, thanks. Congratulations for finding 1,000.
You know what? I'm not even going to say it until they call it in. They get no congratulations from me whatsoever until they call it in.
Oh, I like that idea. So that congratulations was an example of what would happen if you were to call it in. That's not real congratulations at this point.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know if that counts, but okay. But why not call it in to 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community? You can also use that voicemail tool right there on the website. And you know what?
What?
We had somebody that tested out the 253-693-TFTC and it still works.
Nice.
Who knew? So let's listen to this voicemail.
Hey, Cashing in the Northwest. This is Beef Bendragon from Milwaukee. I mean, it was the Northwest Territories at one point. Calling to say that I have managed to alleviate a DNF that has haunted me for a year and halfway across the country from home. I just found the cache Born to Cache here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee after searching for half an hour last year when I was in town. Feels great to get that one off my DNF list because I thought I might never come back. Thanks for all you do and have and cache safely, cache often.
Thank you, B. Pendragon. And I have to laugh because this is Google Voice, so they do a dictation. And the very end there, it says, thanks for all you do and have it passively pass Austin. I don't know how you passively pass Austin.
Well,
but we're going to try.
Maybe you ride a bus.
Hashtag geocache road trip. You passively pass Austin.
If you're riding a bus and it goes past Austin, you're passively passing Austin.
There you go.
You know, on the highways in Texas. All right. Well, that was awesome. Thank you, B. Pendragon, for calling in to 253-693 DFTC. It was great to hear your voice and to have you share with us your avengement of the DNF in Milwaukee.
He avengicated.
He avengicated. Nice. Yes, he did. All right. Well, you know what? Every week, for quite a while, we've been talking about hashtag wish I was caching contest. It has been so much fun watching everybody's tweets coming in over Twitter, all the different ideas people have had to either talk about the weather, talk about what they're doing, talk about what they wish they were doing, caching. Even when they're out caching, they're posting wish I was caching posts on Twitter. Tweets, I guess those would be. It's been a lot of fun. Some great pictures, lots of funny comments. We've so enjoyed it. So, contest officially ended October 31st, midnight at the end of the day, October 31st, when all the goblins were out there doing whatever goblins do, trick-or-treating and such. And, we're still working through the process of tabulating all the results, doing all the scoring, doing the randomization, and next week we'll be announcing the winners of the hashtag wish I was caching contest. But in the meantime, I think there was a great one that came up just a couple hours ago you were going to share, Chris.
Yes, this one came from Tick Magnet, who says, I sure hope caching in the Northwest comes up with another geocaching thing. I miss hashtag wish I was caching already. You don't have to stop using it.
That is true. You can continue to use it if you'd like, but the contest is officially over, and we really appreciate everybody having so much fun with it and sharing your hashtag wish I was caching tweets. It's made things a lot of fun for us to be able to check those out and see what you guys are up to.
And, I do believe we trended on Twitter there for a while with the hashtag wish I was caching.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm not sure how to quite figure out if we were actually trending. Because, it's Twitter. And
it is.
Yeah. There's some odd things about Twitter from time to time.
Absolutely. Hey, there's a question in the chat from Three Hams and a Rose, who's asking, would it be rude to use the 253693 TFTC right now?
Well, yes, because then you're not listening to us. No, feel free. In fact, while I'm sitting at this computer, it'll actually ring. So I don't know if you would hear it on the podcast. I could answer it if you want me to. I've done that once and it's like, what is this? Because I've never actually seen it ring while I'm sitting at the computer. But it was Limax that time. He's like, you picked up the phone. I didn't know what I was doing. But you never know.
There you go. You never know. So
anytime, 24 hours of the day or night, you choose which 24 you want to choose.
Chris will wake up.
Yeah.
Any time of the night just to answer your call.
You better believe I will not.
Or it might go to voicemail. It'll probably go to voicemail.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole idea.
Exactly. So you can leave that awesome message for us to share with everybody else your thoughts and your experiences in your very own voice. All right.
Love it.
Go ahead,
please,
buddy.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to remind all those who are listening live and those who aren't listening live, who are listening to the recorded show, to share your hashtag FITAS geocaching updates with us so that we can talk about them in the after show.
I love it. So if you're listening live, go ahead and use hashtag FITAS. That's FTAS for the after show. And we'll talk about your geocaching antics or adventures later in the show. Now, if you're not listening live, say you're undead and you choose to be listening. Sorry, we just had Halloween, so I'm trying to throw those in. And really, I shouldn't. But
it's over. Clean up your yard.
Yeah, exactly. Get rid of all that candy. You don't need it anyway. If you're listening later, go ahead and use hashtag FITAS on Twitter or Facebook and let us know what you're doing while you're out doing your geocaching antics or adventures.
Indeed. All right. So what else have we got going on? Hey, you know what? There's some news this week.
I need to get a news sound effect, don't I? Breaking news.
Yes. Good news. All right. What else was I going to share? Oh, yeah. News. Geocaching.com. They shared some news about Message Center. So Message Center is that online instant messaging service that's plugged right into geocaching.com website, as well as the official Geocachinger app, allowing you the ability to send messages to any of your geocache.com friends. So it's been working fairly well. A lot of people use it for virtual answers and earth cache answers, as well as asking for answers on puzzles and nudges and hints and, you know, whatever else people happen to use it for, which has been great. Well, one of the things you have been able to do is send images through it, which has been really handy sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if somebody's, you know, you're at somebody's cache and you think, oh, this doesn't look right, or, you know, for whatever reason, you want to send an image, you can, it works great. It's been a handy little feature to have. Well, as of very, very recently, I think yesterday afternoon.
Sounds about right.
You can now send other file types such as PDF, doc, or docx to other geocachers. So, you know, Microsoft Word. Mm-hmm. Or PDF documents.
Interesting. I'm sure, I haven't tried it. I'm sure Excel documents, XLS or XLSX.
Like the whole Microsoft suite there?
Yeah, but they didn't put that one out specifically because actually for geocaching, I use Excel far more than I use Word.
Right. Yeah. Some people do. Some people are real Excel whizzes and just tend to do pretty much everything in Excel. And
it's number-based. Geocaching has a lot of numbers in it.
It's true. I use the Google Docs version of spreadsheeting, whatever that's called. I can't remember what
numbers. Sheets. Google Sheets.
Google Sheets. There you go. I quite enjoy using that as well. That's great. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So, yeah. So, this is cool. Haven't really played with it much yet. I've been really busy with some other stuff and haven't had a chance to get in there and play around with it, but looking forward to checking that out a little bit more. If anybody in the listening live to the show has played with it, I see Team Finn says love the new feature, especially as a puzzle owner. So that sounds interesting. I'd be curious about some use cases of, you know, how would you practically use that new feature? It'd be interesting. An important point, though, is that this new functionality is currently not available in the Geocachinger app.
That's right.
So you cannot attach PDFs, docs, docx, etc. via the Geocachinger app. Now, what I don't know is if that means if somebody sends one
from the
website, can you receive it in the Geocachinger app?
Hmm.
So Sounds to me like we need to play around with this a little bit more.
I completely agree.
So there you go. So, hey, you know what? If you're listening to the show and you want to play around with this, and let us know. Or if you've got ideas of good use cases for this, hashtag FITAS.
Exactly. You know what? Go ahead and send us some different types of files, and we will hashtag FITAS them later. Everybody send a message to LandMonkey, says Dora Moore.
Oh, that's not exactly what I was asking.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, Mrs. So, LandMonkey's going to really appreciate that from all of you.
So everybody make sure you send a different file type to LandMonkey. Well, there's only a couple hundred of file types, so they'll be fine.
No. Please don't do that.
No.
All right. Anyways. This is payback for the archiving party, isn't it? All right.
Oh, boy.
I knew it was going to bite me in the butt one day.
Yeah. And your day has come.
Yeah, apparently it has. You know what? We're going to switch things up a bit now.
Please do.
So let's talk about tonight's topic. So why did we come up with this topic to talk about? Well, let me tell you a little story. On a recent hike that we were out on, I found a really neat painted rock, and it was just sitting near a lookout where there's a beautiful view, and there's this really pretty painted rock sitting not far from ground zero for a cache. So I picked it up to examine it, to check it out. Yeah, that's really neat. It was, you know, fairly good size, about the size of my palm of my hand. And when I looked on, I flipped it over and looked on the backside, because, you know, I wanted to flip it upside down and tell if it was a boy rock or a girl rock. And on the back there was painted a Facebook group name and the name of the artist who painted the rock. So I thought, well, that's interesting. And apparently what I found was a painted rock of kindness, which is part of apparently a fast growing new hobby in the Northwest.
You know, I have seen so many of these painted rocks. Some of them have been right next to a geocache, so I know geocachers have done it, I would assume, right? Others I found while geocaching, you walk along, you know, looking for a geocache, and you go, oh, look, a painted rock. And, you know, I'll pick them up and look at them, but I usually leave them behind. So is this somewhat like geocaching?
Well, I think there's aspects of this that could be like geocaching. I think obviously there's aspects of this that appeal to the creative side of geocachers, as well as geocachers who maybe don't have the creative wherewithal to paint the rocks themselves, but just appreciate well-painted, enjoyable, creative painted rocks. So to find out more, I contacted the Facebook group that was on the back of that rock to get some insight. And I got some great answers to my questions back from Lisa Sherlock. So thank you very much, Lisa, for taking the time to answer all of my many, many questions about painted rocks.
So if you'll allow me to, LandMonkey.
Yes.
May I pose some of these questions to you and you answer, and we'll see what's going on?
I will do that, but I am first of all going to state for the record that I am not, nor do I sound like Lisa Sherlock. So I'm not going to even try and impersonate her. I'm just going to read them in my own voice.
Okay. Let's see. Team Finn posted a link to a Facebook group for local, in this case, Maple Valley rocks.
There you
painted
go.
Rocks. So apparently more than one Facebook group.
Oh, there's plenty.
Yes. Yes. So first question, is it correct, or what is the correct or most well-known name for this painted rocks hobby?
So Lisa's response was that there really isn't an official term yet, but their group just seemed to call it rock painting and hunting.
Okay. Are there any rules to this game / hobby?
Well, in most of the Facebook groups that you go to, there is a file in the group info that outlines all of that group's rules. Most groups are quite similar. Basically, the rocks that you paint should be family friendly. There apparently are groups for adult painted rocks, but you're not allowed to hide them in public. Some other rules are don't hide the rocks on private property or state parks, which is interesting because that's actually where I found the rock, was in a state park.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. They say don't sell other people's rocks. You know what? That's fair. I get that. Somebody, it's kind of like the Creative Commons attribution concept there. They're saying don't sell your own rocks on the group page. If you want to sell your rocks, you can do private transactions. Keep it safe when hiding the rocks. I think what that implies is don't hide them like on the precipice of a cliff or something like that.
In the middle of the highway?
Well, because little kids are going to see these, right? And they're going to go run after it because it's pretty and colorful. What else have we got here? The rest of the stuff in the rules is more like suggestions than rules. She says it's a pretty open hobby. We encourage people to paint and hide as well as to hunt for rocks. They do have folks who only hunt for rocks, and they have some folks who only paint and hide. They encourage people to hunt and share the love by not taking all of the found rocks from one place. They encourage people to post pictures of the rocks that they find on the Facebook group page. And what she concluded with, people enjoy seeing their rocks found and either kept or rehid.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So obviously when they, if they go on the Facebook group and post that they've hidden a rock, somebody will go hunt it, much like geocaching.
Yes.
So do the participants connect in the real world for events or to help each other with their artistic skills, etc., you know, learn from each other?
Yeah. So just like geocachers, yes, the painted rock hobbyists definitely do that. They have they had a Halloween event this past Sunday for the Whatcom group, I think it was. No, I'm going to forget which group it was that I was talking to, so I'm going to apologize in advance. But I'm sure a lot of them did. There are great events that allow the folks to get together and paint, discuss techniques, visit with each other, of course, just like geocachers when we get together. But they also trade rocks with each other at these events, and it's always super fun. They're giving back to each other as well as to the hobby, as they're asking that each attendee bring an... Oh, sorry. They're also giving back to the community because they asked that each attendee bring a donation for the women's shelter.
Hmm.
That's very cool. They did a rock raffle, sold raffle tickets, and that money also went to the shelter. So well done, you guys. Nice work.
That is nice. I'm looking at some of the Facebook pages that were mentioned here in the group. And some of these rocks, you know, several of them look like I could paint them because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not that skilled. And mm-hmm. some of them are real pieces of art that I look at and go, wow, I could never do that.
Absolutely. So, here, just for the purposes here, Skagit County Rocks. That's the group that Lisa is a member of that I was chatting with.
So
it's Skagit County Rocks.
Does anyone know how all this got started? Or at least how it got started maybe in the Skagit County area?
So there you go. So what Lisa said is that she hasn't been painting long, but she believes that the group was inspired by the Whidbey Island Rocks group. As she understands, the whole movement was started by the Kindness Rocks Project. She wasn't entirely sure on that one, and then I did a little bit of Googling to find out about the Kindness Rocks Project, which started with people deciding to paint words of encouragement and kindness mm-hmm. on rocks and leave them in gardens for places where, hospitals and places like that where... it would really mean something for people to see that. So that was the concept. And it's taken off.
Love it. I've never painted a rock. And I look at these and the paint looks very durable on them. Right? Not like a water paint or watercolor that you kids may have. What kind of supplies and paint is the best for painting rocks?
So what Lisa shared is that people usually start off pretty basic. You can use cheap acrylic paints from your Walmart or wherever, and standard paint brushes. That all works great. A good point, she said, a spray or paint on sealant will also be a necessity if the rocks are going to be hidden outside at all, especially in our Northwest climate here.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much anything can be used to paint on the rocks, depending on the artist and the artist's skill sets. Watercolor paints or watercolor pencils, gel pens, paint pens, watercolor pens, Sharpies, all of it works. So they'll just have a different effect on the rock, depending upon, of course, the rock itself, and what kind of paints you use on it. So what I'm getting from that is experiment, try different things, see what works. She encouraged that pencils are good to sketch out your design prior to painting. And that's about it. She again said it's mostly about the artist's preference once they've had a little practice. Herself, she says, I usually stick to Posca pens and watercolor pencils for her rocks. She has used watercolors and Tombow pens as well.
Interesting. So, yeah, my wife has a couple of paint pens that I've used for different things. And, you know, they go on much like a Sharpie, but a little thicker. So that probably would work well. Okay, so now we know what paint to use. But, you know, what's the best rock for painting? Is there an ideal type or, you know, shape? Is it just, you know, whatever you see?
Right. So I was really curious about this being a, you know, rock aficionado myself. You know, and I was thinking, yeah, because you're going to have, you know, sandstone rocks and mudstone rocks where they're going to be much more porous and granular. And then, you know, there's going to be smoother rocks, your various types. And I, you know, I started thinking about the different rocks that there are and how they would take different paints, etc. So I was really curious what the answer from the rock painters would be to this question. So Lisa came back and said, the ideal rocks are as close to a canvas as possible, meaning that it's flat, smooth, and lighter in color. Therefore, your designs will show up better and it'll be easier to paint on a smoother rock, which makes total sense to me. But she said it also depends on what the artist is planning to put on the rock. There are designs that look amazing on dark rocks. She said mandalas are best on dark rocks as the designs really pop. Mm-hmm. But again, she said it comes to a lot about preference. And I would think, again, just like we were talking about the paints and such to use, a lot of it's going to come from experience.
Interesting. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. So they post online where they hide the rock so others can go find it. Do they use coordinates or is it more kind of letterboxy? You know, hey, you go past the gate, six steps, there's a tree, and that's where I've hidden it?
Yeah. So this is, you know, again, being geocachers, this exactly. is the question we wanted to ask. Now, when I posted a picture in their group of the rock that I found, and I picked it up and I moved it to another location in the park where mm-hmm. I was. And I took coordinates from where I found it and I took coordinates where I left it. And I posted both those coordinates as well as a photo of the rock on their site. But I realized that I didn't see anybody else really doing that on their Facebook site, but I thought I would ask the question. So Lisa said, in an answer to this question about, you know, do you provide coordinates or what do you do? She said, as you can see, a lot of it is open to the artist. Coordinates are not usually provided as a clue. General or exact locations aren't given as part of the fun is in the hunting. Some artists don't post at all when they hide rocks. They like people to just randomly stumble upon them. Some people will tell the general area where they may have hidden. She says that this is what she'll usually do and say something like, Lions Park has been rocked. So that sounds like a fun way of doing it. She said some people will go a step further and post up or post close-up pictures of the hidden rocks in addition to the location so people can hunt for the location and match up the picture. So that sounds a little more like letterboxing
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
from our experience. She said all of them work and it's all fun. So, you know, however you want to post or not post is cool. When a person finds a rock, they do like for them to post a photo of that picture of the rock and to see where they found it. As people like to rehide rocks they previously found, and it's fun to see where they travel. So, yeah, I guess it's cool if somebody posts a picture of a rock you painted and you see it on the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that would be kind of fun. It's almost like a TV a little bit that way. Eh?
Exactly. So, I mean, looking at some of these pictures, the rocks aren't always hidden or set on the ground. Sometimes they're set on man-made objects. I've seen them on crosswalks and curbs and, you know, different areas. That's interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
So
Oh, I was going to say, Start Casher posted in the chat and asked, what are Mandelas? And the first time I ever heard that word, I was thinking they're Nelsons, but they're not. It's like a, it's kind of like a, it's a design that kind of reminds me of a dream catcher when I see it. So, you know, those of us in the Northwest will be familiar with the mm-hmm. dream catcher design, but basically it's kind of a meshy, sometimes spiraled, sometimes not type design is really what a mandala is. So it's just a, it's a style of design that is like concentric circles and intersecting lines. So there you go.
I'm looking to see if I can come up. Here we go. Let me do a screen share here. These are some mandalas here. Often flowery looking. You know, the first thing I think of, Land Monkey, did you ever have Spirograph as a kid?
Oh, yeah, I love Spirograph.
And that's kind of, that's what I get, you know, a repeating pattern from these. So something to that extent.
Fantastic. That's much better than the way I was trying to describe them. So yes, they do all look very, very much more flowery than what I was explaining. I guess what I was explaining, it was probably sounding a lot more like a spider web.
So there you go. But a dream catcher, yeah, because they're almost lacy.
Yeah. So there you go.
But again, it depends on the artist. There was one, again, I was looking through these Facebook groups. There was one that was very cute. It was a Thanksgiving table. So it had a turkey and a corn on the cob and, you know, all the different parts of a Thanksgiving meal, each one on a separate stone.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Neat.
So, you know, and of course, ones with inspiring words mm-hmm. on them. Some with pop culture references like... I just saw it. Now I can't think of it. The Nerdy Kid movie series. Can't come up with it. Anyway, pop culture references, Pokemon,
right.
Different things like that. So if someone was curious and wanted to learn more, how do you get into it? How do you start?
Right. So that was the question we posed to Lisa, and she came back and said the easiest way would be to join the local rock group on Facebook. Or, you know, any rock group for that matter. Everyone is always very welcoming and helpful. And I definitely found that when I joined the Skagit County Rocks group out of curiosity. And I was immediately warmly welcomed by their group. And like I said, they just really jumped right in and helped answer any questions I had. So she said, certainly speaking for the Skagit Rocks group or Skagit County Rocks, but I would imagine for any of the Painted Rocks groups. She said, we want everybody to enjoy this hobby as much as we do. We have people in our group from all over the state and all over the U.S. It's just great to share the rocks you've painted. Find a local group and join. Start asking questions. She said that Pinterest is also a great place to find information and rock painting hints and inspirations.
Of course.
So there you go.
Really,
I think that's
nice.
Great. I know a lot of very creative geocachers who probably would have a lot of fun with this. And I have to say, I kind of love the idea of the hybrid of posting coordinates of where you found a picture mm-hmm. and coordinates of where you found the rock or where you left one. And kind of using a little bit of the geocaching aspect of it.
Nice. Monkey Cakes came out with Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and that was exactly what I was trying to think of.
Okay.
See, I should not ad lib live.
Right, with sort of stick manish figures that they had for that.
Yes, exactly. And, so it depends on your artistic skill. I mean, you know, some of these are just, you know, simple colored background with white or black words on them. And those are very nice. In fact, I have a couple of rocks on my desk that have been given to me by different people. These are more professional ones that look like they're screen printed or something. But, you know, they have words on them that I find inspirational and I look at from time to time. So I think it's a great idea. I think we should all go out and paint a rock. Now, what if we did a geocaching-themed rock, put it out there, and see if anybody's interested in geocaching from the Painted Rocks of Kindness group?
So paint it like a lock and lock?
Oh, yeah. Ammo can. No, I was just thinking a green field with the stylized G.
Ah, okay.
And then on the back, put, you know, geocaching.com or something. I don't know.
There you go.
Well, we could do one with a travel bug tag on it.
That's a good idea.
So then you can track your painted rock.
That's a great idea.
And IHAM said, came up with what I was thinking of, you know, considering the time of year, we all know Charlie Brown's Halloween, the TV show. And right. What does he get every time he goes up to the door? He gets a rock.
Yeah, there you go. Very cool. All right. Well, you know, hey, if you were one of the people who out of the, what was that, hashtag Mary Hyde pirate events, didn't they give out free trackable codes at the end of that?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. So if you still got your trackable code and you haven't figured out what to do with it, well, maybe paint a rock and then put your trackable code on the back.
Exactly. Use one of these paint pens. You can write very easily with it. Put your code on there and then seal it and send it off.
There you go.
Oh, yep. Team Finn says an event idea, rock painting.
It's a great event idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that's about everything I had on the painted rocks. I thought it was really interesting. I thought it would be kind of fun. It's a little different, something we could talk about mm-hmm. on the podcast that may be of interest to the geocachers. And, you know, now when you're out geocaching, if you see those painted rocks, you know a little bit more about them.
Mm-hmm. I personally feel a little guilty taking a painted rock. I was like, well, I'm leaving that for someone else. Somebody else will find it that, you know. Maybe that will brighten their day. I don't know. I do the same thing kind of with pennies. I make sure if I get a penny and change, I leave it where I know a child can find it. You know, near the entrance of a store or something where, of course, it's safe. But, you know, they'll find it. Because when a child finds a penny, their face lights up. Oh, look, I found a penny.
Very cool. Yeah, that's a neat idea. So, yeah. That's about it on the painted rocks. Anything else we wanted to cover off before we wrap up this episode?
There's a comment here in the chat from R. Brown. I've been looking for a picture of a painted rock. Painted rock TB. I moved it many years ago. It was a fox with the TB tag glued to the unpainted side.
Oh, that's neat.
So, well, look at Team Finn says he gets excited when he finds pennies.
There you go.
See, not just children, but anybody can get excited when you find money.
Is Team Finn following you around? Is that what's going on?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. So, if you're painting rocks and hiding rocks, or you're specifically going out looking for painted rocks, why not call into 253-693-TFTC and tell us about your rock experience?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there's a group of you that go out and do this and you're a rock band.
I think you're stealing somebody's joke there. That's IHAM.
Well, I didn't see that. Did he?
Said if the artists get together, would that make it a rock band?
Oh, perfect. Oh, yes, I see it now. Sorry, IHAM, you get full credit for that one. You came up with it first.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, and also if you're out there painting rocks and you want to show us what you've painted or you found an interesting one, post it on Twitter and make sure to either put at LandMonkeyGC or at CachingNW. You know, put it at CachingNW or at LandMonkeyGC, either one, both of them.
Or share send him pictures in his geocaching.com message center.
No, you don't need to do that. Twitter works really well for that. This is the kind of thing Twitter's designed for.
trying to help you.
No, you're not.
Okay.
Anyway, before we wrap up, I also just one more time, I just want to say very sincere thanks to Lisa for all the help that she provided and the great folks in the Skagit County Rocks Facebook group for being so warm, inviting, and helpful to help us all understand a little bit more about the Painted Rocks of Kindness.
I like that. That's such a nice idea. You know, it's a lot like geocaching. You're giving to a stranger, really. You know, it could be something they look at and go, oh, that warms the cockles of my heart, wherever those are. I never was big into anatomy. So I like the idea. It seems selfless.
Mm-hmm.
And it pushes into the key word that I'm using for this upcoming year, mindfulness.
Indeed.
Be mindful of others. Okay, until next week, where can our mindful listeners find you on the interwebs there, Mr. Land Monkey?
Well, we will be mindfully watching our Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope feeds at LandMonkeyGC. Follow us. We love to have people sharing their pictures, whether they're painted rocks or your geocaching adventures, and sharing them with us. And we will be sharing ours all the time. We'd love for all those social media formats to be a two-way conversation. So follow us. We'll follow you. Let's chat. Let's find out what's going on with you guys. And of course, always new videos coming out every once in a while. Always every once in a while on YouTube. If you follow us, it's Land Monkey. Just search YouTube for LANMONKEY. And Chris of the Northwest.
Whenever you do that, I want to follow with MOUSE.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. It's kind of like your phenomena.
It is, really. Well, Chris, where are people going to find
you? Well, you know, you probably find interesting things if you go to Wits End on Twitter, Facebook, or Google Plus. It's witsend.us. However, you can find me at CachingNW. That could be CachingNW on Facebook, Google Plus, even on the Twitters. Yes, I still Twitters from time to time. In fact, I meant to Twitters a rainbow I got a picture of this morning. And, well, I got that picture and everything was nice, and then my world exploded and I had all this work to do. And I did not Twitters.
There's always tomorrow.
Yes, there is. There is. But until that time, we want to take the time to say thank you for listening to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. Call into the number that we keep telling you, 253-693-TFTC. That's 253-693-8382. And leave us a comment, question. You know, send us the pictures of your painted rocks any time of the day or night. And of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Don't forget that your support helps keep the quality shows coming. If you like this show, click on that Patreon link right there on the cachingnw.com website. The show's licensed under Creative Commons Attributions 3.0 license. Copyright 2017 by Chris Umfenauer. And folks, please stay tuned for
the After Show.
Still like that.
The After Show.
Sounds so large. Oh, let's see. Let's start with Team Finn, who says, Fatas, National Sandwich Day is this Saturday. Make sure you post your will attend ASAP.
That's their event for National Sandwich Day. Where is that again?
I want to say it's in Federal Way. And unfortunately, I was planning to be there. But unfortunately, I had a family event pop up on Saturday, and I will not be able to make it. So I apologize.
All right. Okay. I'm nervously considering opening my geocaching.com account here to see if there have been messages coming in.
You should have no fear. You're surrounded by friends.
My audience I don't trust as much as others. Hmm. Oh, looks quiet. Good. All right.
Okay, so there was something in here from GeoNav Pros.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, GeoNav Pros. Can send DocX through Message Center on desktop, but can't see it on the mobile Message Center. I thought he said something else.
All right. So I did get a PDF from Dora Moore. It's a test, and she doesn't want me to say that it's a test unless I don't get the message. So never mind. Now, what's interesting is the documents come up. So GeoNav Pros has sent me a DocX, a PDF, and a JPEG. Now, we all know JPEGs work because they always have. There's no change there. But anything that isn't a JPEG, so anything that isn't an image file, it just shows up as a paperclip and the file name. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, sometimes you can get things that are viruses in macros in some of these.
Yes, in Word and Excel you can, yes. Yeah.
So that's the part of that I'm a little curious about, like what you would.
That's why PDFs are so much more secure.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting. If you click on, okay. So if you click on a DocX, it does give you the option whether you want to open it or save it. So like normal when you're downloading any kind of attachment. So
nice.
Yeah. So there you go. And Team Finn apparently has now sent me something. You guys stop it. Mrs. Landmonkey's going to get really annoyed very shortly.
Oh, Stark Casher says, as for finding change, when I go to an amusement park, I play a game, for my own purpose, of picking up all loose change I find. I like to see how much I can get each trip. I like it when I rarely get at least one of each coin, quarter, dime, nickel, penny. I call it the quadfecta. Team Finn says, half dollar? He says, never found a half dollar. He's found $10. So, interesting. The quadfecta.
There you go.
Team Finn's event is at Ma Boulangerie, 320th and Federal Way.
That's right, Federal Way. They discussed that last week. That's right. I forgot about that.
JPEG works on mobile, but not DocX.
Correct. Yeah.
Let's see.
Apparently, none of the attachments other than we could image sing attachments a good song. Sorry, what was that?
I unfortunately clicked on a link that IHAM sent of the original 1969 Mana Mana version.
Nice. All right. And Mr. GeoNav Pro says that he can't even see the DocX attachment when he's using iOS mobile. So there you go.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I guess there's probably still some work to be done by the good folks at geocaching.com as they continue to tweak and work on that stuff.
And it would make sense not being able to see the Doc or DocX because there really, yes, there is a Word program for the mobiles, but it's not really designed that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That makes
it's not sense. Designed for local file content.
Yep. Team Finn said that there should be lots of fun on Saturday at their event, last normal event before our year in review extravaganza in December. This Saturday, for those who maybe are a little bit further north of Federal Way, I invite you to come up to our GJIF event in Richmond. We're going to have a metric buttload of fun. It's going to be a great event. We have a special video that probably only about 5 or 6 GJIF events in the world are going to have.
Ooh.
Yeah. So something special there that we'll have at the Richmond event. The video may get released afterwards. I'm probably sure it probably will at some point, but yeah, a little something special for the
geocachers. Leaked more than released.
What's that?
Leaked more than released.
It probably leaked more than released, yeah. But, you know, I don't know if they're going to have it at any of the events that you guys are going to.
I don't know. I'm planning to go to one on Monday evening. up in Seattle. So,
okay, there you go. Very nice. And let me think. What else is going on at our GIF event? We're going to have live polling, so people will vote electronically live during the viewing of the films. And I may even try and find a way to share those results on the interwebs so that others can
nice
and see what's going on.
So you're having yours on Saturday. So by Monday, I will know, oh, this is the video I should really be paying attention to.
Yeah. And you'll also know the ones that it's like, yeah.
I can go use the bathroom during this one.
Yeah. That's called also played.
Team Finn, I don't remember who hosted the Tacoma GIF event last year. Was that PLU? No, not PLU? Yes, PLU. It was a cashier I was unfamiliar with.
Good for them. Right arm. Okay. Well, did we cover off most of the hashtag FATAS stuff?
Yes. Interesting. Okay, so R. Brown, you're going to have to tell us your geocaching name. I'm sorry, I don't recall. When I worked for the ski industry, he says, we would draw straws on who would be the first to walk the chairlift line, checking the tower bolts in the spring. The first one to four towers at the top and bottom was a treasure of coins. It was great when the loonies came out. I found $80 on one of my trips.
Nice. That's awesome.
Wow. Oh, BC Rock Crawler. Of course. Thank you.
There you go. Very cool. That's awesome. I'm curious which slopes you worked on there.
The ones with a bunch of loonies.
Yeah, well, that could be any of the resorts.
Wow, found $80 in coins. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, right? You think about it, people stick the coins in their ski pants and maybe don't zip the pockets up. And
yep, and you're jumping in and out of those chairs, and things will slip right out of those pockets.
There you go. Marmot Basin in Jasper. Nice. What a beautiful area. What a beautiful area. Very cool. All right.
Nice.
Well, what do you think, buddy? Time to wrap her up?
I think it is. Folks, thank you for joining us this week. And until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.